And welcome to another edition of Spits and Suds off-season program number 2. Still hurts to say that, but we need to move on at this point. And our goal this off-season is to fill you in as much information as possible. So we'll have a bunch of programs coming up. Sean Shapiro was great the other day, and we'll have Sean throughout the summer. So a lot of guests coming up. So please, if you get a chance, hit that subscribe button, because I want to make sure you don't miss any episodes, because hopefully I'll get a couple out a week. So if you could do that, that would be great. Once again, the other thing you can do is leave a review on Apple, for instance. If it's a 5-star review, wonderful. I love seeing that you guys love the guests that we have on Spits and Suds. So if you could just spread the word, I'm not going to ask you to tell 5 or 10 people. If you see someone wearing a Stars hat and you happen to get in a conversation with them, like I was at a bar tonight and I saw a guy wearing a Philadelphia Flyers hat and we had a nice conversation, and I said, "Did you wear that Flyers hat prior to this run?" And he goes, "I've watched every game, but you know what? It's a pretty new hat. Haven't worn it." So I love talking to hockey fans, and I know you guys do too. So if you happen to talk to someone that's a Stars or hockey fan, please let them know about Spits and Suds. We really want to grow this program. Got some big ideas in the future, but to have those ideas happen, we need to continue to grow. So if you could, you guys are awesome teammates as it is. That would be wonderful. Also, an awesome teammate, they continue this offseason, is the On-Time Experts. Now, I know the weather has not heated up to 100 degrees yet. And I know we've received some rain, and that cools the temperatures down. So maybe you're not thinking about your AC unit right now, and that's understandable. But you do have items to cross off your spring cleaning list. And I really think that you should get your HVAC system cleaned. And we go get our oil change when we need to for our car, right? We follow the rules there. For some reason, we don't follow the rules with our HVAC unit. Sometimes we forget to put the filter in, but if we put the filter in, we just say, "Oh, that's done." Well, the filter certainly helps, but you want complete optimization. And the On-Time Experts will make that happen. They'll come to the house. They'll spend sometimes up to 2 hours completely gutting, inspecting, and cleaning your HVAC unit from dirt, from grime, from dust. A lot of times, like for me, for instance, my system's up in the attic, so of course it's going to collect dust. The On-Time Experts takes care of that. And what that does is that's one of the top causes of AC failures. And as the pressure mounts with the heat rising in North Texas, it's going to put a lot of pressure. So make sure that you are fully optimized this summer. It's only $59 if you're a first-time customer. $59, that's an amazing deal. One better. They're offering a $99 first floor only, first-time customer, a complete first floor drain cleaning. I know I'm excited about that. I have to remember to call the On-Time Experts myself. Same day service guaranteed. Our friends supporting the Stars and supporting Spits and Suds, it is the On-Time Experts. One thing I wanted to talk about today is I'm really proud, and I'm biased. Of course I'm biased. I run 105.3 The Fan. I have some amazing teammates at The Fan. But over the last few years, we have upped our Stars coverage, and I've been so proud of that. And the interviews that we had going into the playoffs and during the playoffs, it was really, really impressive. And we're going to continue doing that. We feel at the radio station as though the fan base has grown, and because of that, we're talking a lot more Stars. And that's a good thing. So if you get a chance and you can't just listen to Spits and Suds, listen to 105.3 The Fan. There's not a show that doesn't go by that they're not at least mentioning or talking about the Stars at some point. So today, as a matter of fact, the KNC Masterpiece had pre and post victory plus TV host, as well as intermission host with the greatness of Sevy, Brent Severin. Brian Ray came in studio with the KNC masterpiece and talked Stars, talked the season, and talked the future of the Dallas Stars. Brian's always a great interview. So let's hear from the KNC masterpiece and Brian Ray.
KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now in studio. We bring to you Dallas Stars broadcaster, Emmy Award winner, and man who is afraid of how many microphones are in
There's a lot of microphones in here.
It is Brian Ray. Good morning and welcome to the studio.
There's six?
Uh-huh.
Is there six?
Yeah.
It's a big studio.
We have an afternoon show that has about 100 people on it.
Which is good.
So we had to make sure that was good for them.
If you're in a place where you can have that many people on your show, you're probably doing something right. But I will say I was marveled when I walked in. I'm like, my goodness, how many mics you have in this place?
Yeah.
It's impressive.
Okay.
What's up, fellas?
Thank you very much. More impressive than the Stars in the first round.
Ugh. Hey. That's why I'm in here.
Yeah.
I got some time on my hands now.
You're here to answer for these issues.
Jim Nill's media availability is tomorrow, so I'll do the best I can.
Yes. We'll answer for that, yeah.
And that's fair. So I guess I want to start, because we've talked about this a lot. I want to see if you think this is a fair assertion. The Olympics, they were awesome.
Yeah.
But in the big picture, they negatively impacted the Stars season.
I actually agreed with Glenn Gullitson's answer, because he was asked directly about that when we had our availability with him yesterday. And he just said, look at all the teams that are still in the playoffs. They all had guys at the Olympics.
Right.
If you're looking at Minnesota, boy, Matt Boldy did not look like he was affected by the Olympics at all. If you look at the Stars' first-round series, yes, you could point at different things of, well, Roope Hintz was injured, Mikko Rantanen came up, Miro Heiskanen had an injury. You can point at that. And was it a factor? Yes. But for me, they looked tired to me. That simple as that.
Why?
So and maybe we'll hear if Jim Nill has a theory on this, but for me, this is not a coincidence to me. But if you look at the last 4 years, this is including this season, Florida, Edmonton, Dallas have played more hockey games, regular season and playoffs, than any other team in the league. Florida didn't even make the playoffs. Dallas and Edmonton dusted in the first round. That's not a coincidence to me that all three teams are out in some fashion. I do think it does build up over time. There's been a lot of short summers for this Dallas Stars roster, and hopefully a longer summer will set the table up for something better next year. But that's not a coincidence to me. I do think that does play into it. I think you look at how Minnesota was able to push Dallas around a little bit. It's one of those where the brain said, yes, I'm fighting as hard as I can. Right. The heart said, yes, I'm fighting as hard as I can. But I don't know if the body was reaching at that same level.
So you feel, and maybe Kevin in that same instance, it's not necessarily the desire to do it. Like,
no.
There wasn't anything lost there. It was just the legs just didn't happen.
Yes, I think at the end of the day, and you look at how physical Minnesota played those first two games, like that builds up over the course of an individual series. You ran into a fresher, hungrier, meaner, nastier team. And, I mean, Minnesota hasn't won a playoff series in what feels like eons. And there's a lot of players on that roster that have been a part of those disappointments. I think, you know, because we're family friendly around here, I think there could have been a little more, we'll say, screw you energy out of Minnesota. And that 2-3 matchup is so tight. You would have loved to have Game 7 at home, but it's so tight. I just think they just looked tired to me as that series went along.
Where do you think he wanted to use instead of screw you?
Okay. F.
Okay, all right.
So,
cluck.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. So I'll just make
puck.
A statement.
Puck.
And you tell, exactly, puck around and find out. You tell me if you think this is fair, unfair, somewhere in between. Whether Jamie Benn comes back or not next season, you need to have a different captain.
No, you know,
your captain, if he wasn't your captain, would he have been a healthy scratch at times?
That's something I'm not even going to touch. I really don't know, because who would you bring in? And there was conversation, do you bring in Michael Bunting? And it was more, well, who do you take out situation?
Right.
The Jamie Benn captain thing, and I see it on social media. Look, fans, regardless of the sport, regardless of the team, You need a face. You need a scapegoat to blame. If it's not Jamie Benn, it's Jake Ottinger. If it's not Jake Ottinger, well, it's Glenn Gullitson. Well, if it's not Glenn Gullitson, well, it's the general manager. You always need a face. I, over my time, both working at the Stars minor league team in the AHL and here in Dallas, I've heard enough different players with the organization and no longer in the organization tell me how amazing of a captain Jamie Benn is. And we don't get to be in the room.
Sure.
The way that there is certain access the players have and insight that we simply will never have. But I've heard that from enough different independent people and players with the team and no longer with the team for me to say, okay, this isn't lip service. This isn't PR. This isn't covering something. This is actually genuine because I've heard this from enough different independent people that the idea that you need to have a different captain, no. I'm not buying totally into that. And then Jim Neal a year ago went on record and said, look, as long as he's the general manager, Jamie Benn is going to be the captain of this organization. So the fact that he and the captain have that type of relationship doesn't matter what we talk about here right now.
Does he need to be getting 15 minutes a game?
Boy, what was he getting this year? I'd have to. Yeah, I will admit, I took the last 4 days off. I haven't watched a minute of hockey. Okay. I haven't even looked at the Stars roster.
Oh.
I haven't even looked at the salary cap situation. I came home and it was me, a glass of wine, and the dog just hanging out.
Smart. Actually.
Yeah, I don't know why. I was thinking you'd be like really in on Minnesota and Colorado.
No, I mean I saw on my phone the 9-6, you know, shellacking that went on back and forth. I'm like, wow, that's wild. You're not gonna see that very much. But no, I absolutely tuned it out just for I'm like, Monday I'll get back into this a little bit.
All Minnesota does is score six in their first games.
Look, I do think you didn't win the Stanley Cup, you lost in the first round. Your roster's flawed. So, as a general manager, you are going to look for ways to tweak and correct it. And I would imagine there's a lot of conversations with a lot of players about adjusting a role. I'm not going to say reducing a role, but adjusting a role for what sets both the player and the team up for success next season. I would not be surprised if everything was on the table in a conversation like that.
We were talking with Robert Tiffin and
heard of him.
This is Foligno, by the way, that he was getting the words from, and that was we were trying to bait Jamie Benn into fighting. We were trying to get him to, and we know who this guy is.
I saw the interview,
and I'm just kind of curious if that's the case.
Although he was right about the 5-on-5 thing.
He was, yeah, he did.
Absolutely,
he did win
was.
That one. When it comes to at some point somebody's got to stand up. Somebody's got to do something. Why didn't Jamie Benn do it? What kept him from being like, you know what? Screw it.
So I'm gonna walk that back. And once again, you know, we only have lines from Marcus Foligno.
Yeah, exactly.
Said, we've asked him to fight. He won't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I hear a player say that, the first question that pops into my head: when did you ask him? Did you ask him when you were up 3-1 or 4-1? Why is the player going to fight and risk taking a penalty? They're trying to come back.
Yeah.
Did you ask them when they were up 3-1 or 4-1? Why would the player fight, risk losing it, and give your team energy to try and come back? Did you ask them when the game was tied? What point in the game was the game tied? I always ask, when did you ask them? And was there any point in this series where it felt like the game was completely out of reach? And yeah, game six, I saw the final score. There were two empty netters. Dallas was grinding to get that game back to even. When you get into a playoff series, how often do games really turn into blowouts? Even the 15-goal, you know, nonsense with Colorado and Minnesota. I don't know if there was ever anybody up more than two goals because they just kept trading back and forth.
Once Colorado was up 3-0, but then after that, it was really tight.
What did Minnesota do? They scored the next two and made it 3-2.
Yep.
They didn't get into a fight.
Yeah.
So I saw the comments from Foligno, but the first question I always ask is, when did you ask him to fight?
That makes sense.
The situation?
That's why I was trying to walk myself through it, and I feel like I never really saw a moment when Jamie Benn needed to do that other than, I got to fire my team up.
Yeah.
But you got to figure out that time. You got to fire the guys up at some point, but you got to time that right, too.
I would also look at that series, and I'll push it back to you guys. What point in that series would a fight have gotten us to game 7 and Dallas?
Yeah.
I mean, they fought a lot in game 1. You know, like that. It looked like in game one. Yeah. Or no, I'm sorry, game two.
Game two. Well,
game two. You saw a fight from the stars.
Colin Blackwell blasted
that
Yakov
awesome.
Trenin, and what happened?
Yes.
The flying Foligno's started taking penalties, and they put Dallas on the power play, and Dallas evened up the series. You're not going to fight there. Keep taking your penalties.
Right, yeah.
So that's game one. No fight was going to fix the giveaway the Stars had in that 6-1 loss. And that's a totally different problem. Don't even ask me about it because I don't have the answer.
It was interesting, too, the Thomas Harley into the turnbuckle moment.
Yes.
And everybody kind of was like, and I know Glenn Gulletson, I thought he did an interesting job of saying, I'm not going to go overboard with it. I'm not going to give it too much. I'm just going to say it was a hockey play. And a lot of the hockey players said it was a hockey play. And as a fan, I was like, screw that. Go out there and hit everybody. Throw skates.
I get it. Oh,
which
man.
Which Jay almost did once whenever he got mad at us. That's a long story for another time.
The Stanley Cup has never been won by a team of angels.
Hmm.
If you want to accuse the Dallas Stars of any shenanigans in that series, which Minnesota fans, no problem doing that.
And they hate Jeremy Benn so much.
And who do Stars fans hate after that series?
Marcus Foligno.
It's no team has ever won the Stanley Cup with a team of angels.
Yeah.
Everybody does it.
Yeah.
And playoffs,
that 99 team was grisly. Like that's what we have it all based on, is that 99 squad that was a bunch of dudes.
You think Darian Hatcher was an angel?
Nope.
No.
What about he was your captain.
Yeah.
He was a phenomenal captain.
So we talked about it. You know, there's going to be a lot on the table with so many different players, but does it feel like this offseason has to wait until you figure out Jason Robertson?
I think that, and this is why
I'm here. A lot of different directions.
It really can, and I feel like I've said this for the last four summers. This might be the most precarious or important summer that Jim Neal has had as the GM. And you look at Jason Robertson. How do you risk losing 90 plus points and 45 goals out of your roster? I mean, that
did you think increased physicality this year too?
I noticed him. I agree with Glenn Gulletson when he says, look, he completed himself as a player and he added elements to his game. I mean, he's not this super physically imposing guy,
right?
But I've seen him lay a reverse hit on guys enough times that there are people who still don't suspect the strength he has over his body.
Huh.
I've seen a couple of guys get caught where it's like, yeah, he can throw a reverse hit.
Is he maybe still learning that about himself then too?
I mean, I've seen him do it in previous years. It's probably more, I don't know if it's channeling the energy or just timing it better or whatever, but there are elements he absolutely added to his game. And all this stems obviously from the Olympic conversation. Look, USA won the gold. You can't fault Bill Guerin for making the picks he did because they won. They backed it up.
Right.
But the other element here is, how do you manipulate your roster a little bit, especially down that forward group, to make yourself a little bit heavier and hungrier to make a deep run? And that's the precarious position that general manager Jim Neal is in. Now, I don't have a great answer for it right now, but if there's one man that I would trust to figure out the best course of action, I think Jim Neal has more than earned the leash to manage this offseason as best he can. I mean, he's done a phenomenal job. And also, look at how we're talking about the Dallas Stars right now. Like, big picture, you didn't get out of the first round. You didn't get out of the second round. And people are ticked. They are mad. That's the standard now that they're at. If you don't get to the second or third round, your fan base is viewing it as a disappointment. I don't know if we're having this conversation 6-7 years ago.
Sure. No, I agree with you on that.
Which you try to find, for me, I'm always trying to find context, you know, especially dealing with the team on a day-to-day basis.
Okay. I definitely agree with you on that. Where's the disconnect about getting over that final hump then? Because Jim Neal, everybody, I mean, he's been voted on it. We all agree he's an excellent general manager. There are excellent players on this team.
And a class man, too.
Yes, yes. Yes. Yeah. We've had excellent coaches, all of those things. But at the same time, it's now going to be 28 years since you won the cup, and you've been close. I realize luck can play into it.
Sure.
But at some point, too, when you get so close and just don't go over the hump, what's the disconnect then?
You know, Glenn Gulletson would use a line this season that I thought was very interesting, where he says you usually see the pieces of success before the actual success comes along. And going back to the start of the season when he came in and he talked about 1% more or that 1 degree extra and compiling that, and then he also loved to use the phrase hand-to-hand combat. And the Florida Panthers had been the gold standard for the last couple of years. I don't know if there was a better team at hand-to-hand combat than the Florida Panthers. And I'm not saying that he's just trying to build a team exactly like the Florida Panthers, but there's a philosophy, there's an attitude, there's a style of play there that I think teams look at and think, all right, can we implement a little bit more of that into our game, who we are as a team? You bring in the head coach to try and implement a little bit of that. Now, what players can you add or supplement the roster with to try and also buy into something like that? And you'd love to be able to do it in one off season. When I play NHL 26 on franchise mode, it's super easy to do it in one off season. But in the reality of things, it's difficult to do that over one off season.
Okay, I want to stick with this specific example because I'm really fascinated by it, and obviously I think that's a great template to follow.
Yeah.
One of the things that team also had was a clutch-as-nails goalie when need be.
Mm-hmm.
Does this team possess that?
I am a Jake Oettinger fan. I think he can win a Stanley Cup for this team, and I understand. Look, he's... There have been ups and downs, and there have been inconsistencies, but I always push back when somebody says Jake Oettinger's not in. I always push back.
And I'm not here to say
I
that.
Hear
that. Yeah.
But I mean, look, when you have the emotional reaction, especially on social media, which just ruins everything for me.
Fair.
You want him to be the number one. You want him to win you a Stanley Cup. It hasn't happened yet. All right, so it's fair to ask the question, well, is he the guy? Is he not the guy? I always ask, okay, if he's not the guy, then who is?
Right.
Who do you go get that is less or equal in terms of the money and the value and salary cap numbers that will get you over the hump? And listen, you know, when Ed Belfour came to Dallas, he was the great goalie who couldn't win the big game.
Yeah.
And then he won a Stanley Cup. You know, Sergei Bobrovsky, the man in Florida. Well, he was turning into the goaltender with an albatross contract. Then he won the Stanley Cup. You're always the goalie who can't win it.
Until you do.
Until you win it. And you know what? For you guys, we're in Dallas. Tony Romo, Dak Prescott.
Dirk couldn't win it until he did.
Couldn't win it until he did. But they are the quarterbacks who cannot win the Super Bowl until you win it.
I think about that a lot.
Okay. It's unfair really, in sports,
really
but that's
good,
the reality
and
of
that
it.
Can change your legacy, and it can be everything else, or you're just a Danny White.
Yeah.
Who, like, you were in the NFC Championship 4 years in a
three
row.
Three years in a row, and
you weren't there.
And that's going to do it for another edition of Spits and Suds. We love putting content out there because, of course, you can't listen to 105.3 The Fan all the time. You can't listen to Spits and Suds. So we're putting that content, repurposing, because I think Brian did a great job talking with the KNC masterpiece today. Special thanks to Gregory Finley, who always does a great job with this program. Once again, support the On Time Experts at theontimeexperts.com. I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan. Until our next podcast, have a great day, everyone.